Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions coming in from all around the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be taking calls on Islam today because I'm doing a special interview with Raymond Ibrahim. His book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, of course, is the resource of the month. You can check it out on the web, available for your support, equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. It is incumbent upon Christians everywhere to understand Islam because despite its incoherence, the Muslim cult, and it really is a cult, it's a cult of Judaism and Christianity with some paganism thrown in. It's now 1,600,000,000 strong, and it's growing. It's the world's fastest growing religion. And it's now poised to fill the vacuum that is left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. The demographics just by themselves ought to alarm everyone. While polygamous Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. And filling that void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have little or no intention of assimilating into Western culture. It's been well called the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. But equally grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism, a jihadism that is now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East. And then there's the ever multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. The stabbing spree in the Minnesota Mall amidst shouts of Allahu Akbar. The bombings in New York Saturday and in New Jersey just before that. And I think worse yet, Western governments, academic institutions, media outlets, they seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus that's animating global Islamic jihadism. I love what Sebastian Gorka said. You can't win a war if you can't talk honestly about the enemy. And by the way, we're not going to fix the problem at the ballot box. Because as with military might, political activism plays a necessary but an insufficient role. The only real solution to a disintegrating West and a resurgent Islam is what the prophetic pen of Oz Guinness wisely designated Renaissance. It's the power of the gospel, however dark the times. How could German Christians have caved in so weakly to the allure, to the coercions of National Socialism in the 30s? Why is it that Western Christians are caving in today so weakly before the challenge of our times, the temptations of the sexual revolution, the blindness to Islam's war on Christians in the East? It's all a betrayal of our Lord, akin to Peter saying, "I don't know that man." Now, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And this is one of the reasons that we are putting resources in your purview so you will be aware of what's going on. Because let me tell you this. Mass genocide of Christians in the East has remained squarely in the blind spot of the West. And I don't know of many people who have done what Raymond Ibrahim has done, to take this issue and put it squarely in front of us so we can't dodge it anymore. And there's a lot I can say about this book, and we'll get to that in a few moments, but this book is worth getting if it is for nothing other than seeing the pictures in the middle of the book. They depict what is happening to Christians all over the world, primarily in the Middle East. At any rate, the book available for your support. Pick it up on the web at equip.org or write me or talk to our resource consultants. Again, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The author of Crucified Again joins me now on the broadcast. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Hank. Good to be with you again.
It's so good to have you on the broadcast. I just mentioned the dead zone, as it were, or the blind spot of Western media, Western Christians. I mean, the whole of Western civilization seems to be completely apathetic or unaware of what is happening in the Middle East with mass genocide.
Absolutely, because it goes directly against the narrative that the powers that be, the mainstream media, the elite, the politicians want to set forward. I often refer to the Muslim persecution of Christians as really the Achilles heel of Islam's image. And the reason for that is because it's okay for the media to, for instance, talk about angry Muslims or terrorists shooting rockets in Israel, for example, or committing acts of terror on Western soil, because it's always going to be spun as, well, they're doing that because they're the underdog. They have grievances, political grievances, real or imagined. And they're lashing out because, they're attacking the stronger party, Israel, the United States, or whatever European nation. But when you look at what's happening to Christians from one end of the Islamic world to the other, where they are tiny minorities, oftentimes they're not even 1% in some of these nations, and you just see the horrendous abuse that they suffer for no reason, nothing about politics, no grievances, nothing to do with territorial disputes, simply because of their identity as Christians, or that is to say, infidels, and you see them being butchered and slaughtered and their churches being bombed and they being enslaved and raped and sold on the market. If that gets out, I think people will start connecting the dots, possibly, and saying, oh, well, maybe that's why Muslims are acting up in Europe, or maybe that's why ISIS is doing what it's doing, or Al-Qaeda, or Boko Haram in Nigeria, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it's not because of all what we've been told, grievances, political disputes, land disputes. Maybe there's just something inherent hateful towards the other, specifically the Christian.
One of the pictures in your book that struck me, it's the picture of President Obama. He's bowing before the Saudi king, and you point out that this is the Saudi king in whose country Christianity is completely banned. In fact, the Saudi Arabia's Grand Mufti recently declared that every church in the Arabian Peninsula had to be destroyed. Talk about this, because that's part of the narrative. Now, perhaps he was just showing due respect to a head of state, to a king, but the irony here, I think, is that this is someone who represents a regime that has done, in essence, to Christians what Hitler did to Jews.
In Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia, and this may sound exaggerated what I'm going to say, but is in no way, shape, or form different than ISIS. Their ideology is the same ideology that the Islamic State subscribes to. Here in the West, because as usual, Western, you know, whoever they are, pundits, academics, they try so much to distance the brand of Islam that is being practiced in the Arabian Peninsula, that is to say, the home of Islam, where Islam was founded, where the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, came from, the language and so forth, Arabia. So they try to convince us that the Saudis are actually practicing something called Wahhabism, which is really like some weird perversion of Islam. Well, it's not. Wahhabism, or what they call Wahhabism, is the most literal, historic way of practicing Islam. And that is the kind of Islam that ISIS is also implementing. And so the things that you see the Islamic State doing, whether it's killing so-called apostates, subjugating Christians and Yazidis and other non-Muslims, destroying churches, killing people because they blaspheme, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Islamic State is doing it. Saudi Arabia is doing the same exact thing, though sometimes in different forms. I think the only thing I haven't seen them do is maybe burn people alive, which is what ISIS has done. But the killing of the apostates, not allowing a single church. Every other week you come across an account of Christians who are in Saudi Arabia on working visa, and they just meet in their homes, their residence, to just celebrate a Christian holiday quietly. And immediately the Saudi religious police break in, beat them, take them, and throw them in jail, sometimes deport them, because how dare they celebrate Christianity in the privacy of their own little residence without even making noise. So it's, to me, I don't see the difference in between ISIS and Saudi Arabia, and I also start understanding why this government is taking somewhat of a soft stance against ISIS when you realize that its president bows before the Saudi king.
You talk about the narrative. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, I was listening to him yesterday when I was in the car, and he said that what is important in the context of political debate is to remember that ISIL is trying to assert a narrative that they represent the religion of Islam in a war against the West. So that's their narrative. They represent Islam in the war against the West and in a war against the U.S. But said Josh Earnest, this is mythology. This is falsehood. This is not true. That is a bankrupt ideology that they're trying to wrap in the cloak of Islam. So what you're hearing over and over again is that what ISIL or ISIS, or what we should properly call the Islamic State, what they're doing has nothing whatsoever to do with what Islam did historically. You point out in your book that this war against Christianity and this kind of terrorism has been going on for 1,400 years.
Absolutely. I mean, and just putting aside, let's put aside history for a moment, even though, as you say, the continuity cannot be ignored. It's so obvious in the parallels. But if this is ISIS that's doing this, what, pray tell, is going on all around the other rest of the Islamic world, in Arab countries, in African black nations, in Eastern Asian nations, from Indonesia and the Philippines, all throughout North Africa, in Turkey, in Central Asia, in Sub-Saharan Africa, as I pointed out, in Nigeria, in Sudan, in Somalia, in Uganda. What if this is about ISIS and its warped view of Islam, why is it that Christians and others are suffering the same exact abuses, including the decapitations and the enslavement and being sold on the market and being raped and being killed for blaspheming, being killed for trying to leave Islam and so forth, all of that ISIS does? Why is it that all of these other Muslims who are not part of an organization, an Islamic terrorist organization, just your average, regular, Joe Blow or Muhammad Blow, if you will, Muslim, and they're doing the same exact things? And like we said, and this is aside from the entire historical story, which is 1,400 years, essentially, of ISIS waging war on Europe.
I'm going to be speaking in Southern California in just a few weeks at the Arabic Community Christian Church event. It's at Glendale Presbyterian Church. I always love speaking in Arabic churches, had the opportunity to do that all over the world, most recently in the Levant in Bethlehem in the West Bank. But again, that's taking place on Friday, October 7th. And if you are in Southern California, while I am, I'd love to see you. I haven't been to Southern California in a while. You can check out details on the web at equip.org. Of course, we're talking to Raymond Ibrahim today. His book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, available for your support of the ministry. Again, check it out on the web, equip.org. It is worth reading, and the pictures alone are worth the price of the book. Of course, we're not selling you the book. The book is available for those who support the ministry. You can write me as well, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants also standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. When I come back from the break, I want to ask Raymond about the Crusades. This is one of the canards that is brought up over and over ad nauseum, ad infinitum, and oftentimes without a perspective of what really happened in history. We can't be biblically illiterate, and we must not be historically illiterate.
Christians and Muslims can be co-citizens in ethnicity, national identity, culture, and language. But wherever and whenever Muslims are in power, explains Raymond Ibrahim, churches are outlawed, burned, and bombed, while Bibles and crucifixes are confiscated and destroyed. Freedom of speech, to speak positively of Christianity or critically of Islam, is denied, often on pain of death. Read Raymond Ibrahim's book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Receive your copy as our thanks when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Raymond Ibrahim, author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, writes, "Christian persecution is perhaps the most obvious example of a phenomenon the mainstream media wants to ignore out of existence, Islamic supremacy. Vastly outnumbered and politically marginalized, Christians in the Islamic world simply wish to worship in peace, and yet they are still hounded and attacked. Their churches are burned and destroyed, their children are kidnapped, raped, and enslaved. It's time to wake up." Read Crucified Again by Raymond Ibrahim. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online at equip.org. Now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are talking to Raymond Ibrahim. He is the author of Crucified Again, the book available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Raymond, I want to ask you something with respect to the Crusades. Just from a historical standpoint, by the Middle Ages, the Muslim menace had become so acute that despite the Great Schism of 1054, you had the Emperor Alexius of Constantinople imploring the Western Pontiff to come to the aid of the beleaguered Eastern Church. And therefore, in 1095, Pope Urban II formulated the first Christian Crusade. I bring this up as prologue to a picture in your book. It is a picture or a depiction of the Crusaders. And so often what happens is Crusaders are pictured as greedy imperialists. But as you point out in the caption next to the picture, what we oftentimes forget is that the Turks and Caliph Allah had destroyed up to 30,000 churches and cut out the tongues of Coptic-speaking Christians.
That's exactly the case with the Crusades. For me, the Crusades are probably the number one historic event that has been so utterly mangled by the narrative that we're discussing, the mainstream modern narrative of Islam and the West or Christendom's interactions, historic interactions, namely, or beginning by, as you point out, not providing any context whatsoever. In the year 1071, the Muslims, now led by the Turks, the Seljuk Turks, who had embraced Islam about a century earlier and who became its greatest jihadi standard bearers, declaring war on the Christian infidels and so forth, lost a pivotal battle in 1071, the Battle of Manzikert, the Byzantine Empire. And at that point, now the Muslims were right. They filled the whole of Anatolia, which at that point was still Greek-speaking Christian, and they were poised right in front of Constantinople, and that's when things really got to a head. And as you pointed out, and despite all the schisms and so forth, he and the Catholic Church decided they have to be unified, at least to try to contain the Islamic threat. And also the persecution of Christians was ongoing, the desecration of the Church of the Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And basically, just to give you a modern-day understanding, everything ISIS is doing today was going on there, and for the same reason, because Islam commands it, because Christians are infidel dogs, and so forth. And so that's the context of how the Crusades were called. And yet, as I think we kind of briefly mentioned, people like Karen Armstrong, these great national bestsellers or international bestsellers of history and so forth, when they talk about the Crusades, they give you zero context. It's as if Islam just happened to be there on two-thirds of Christian territory that was annexed through violent conquest over the course of four centuries. And then Crusaders decided to cynically, try to talk about Christianity and exploit it in order to go and kill innocent Muslims and take their land. And in fact, the most current scholarship on the Crusades by academics today indicates that it was well known for the Crusaders and those who took the cross to go and fight against the Muslims. They knew they would be impoverished, let alone poor and starving and the whole journey where so many of them died just to get there. But they knew that there are no material rewards once you get there. And in fact, there wasn't. They actually lost their own land in Europe, a lot of these knights, and they knew that. And it was a sacrifice that they were doing, both for God, for Christ, for Jerusalem, and for their fellow Christians. And all of this is just thrown out the door. And yet if it was brought in to the narrative and we understood it, think of how much clearer what's happening today would make sense to us. And yet we're denied that, but Muslims aren't. You see, people like the Islamic State and all these other, and your average Muslim is so well-versed in history compared to your average Western person, and they understand this continuity, and they understand this epic struggle between Christianity and Islam that goes back 1,400 years and so forth, and they see what's going on, and they support it, whereas we're left in a vacuum. We have these petty little memes, Muslim grievances, they're angry at us, they're angry because of the Crusades, we have to apologize and so forth, and from there you get to the mess that we're in right now.
You mentioned Karen Armstrong. And she is an academic, obviously a woman. How in the world do women like Karen Armstrong, Hillary Clinton, and so many other, quote, progressives that are calling others xenophobic and Islamophobic and so forth, how in the world do they stomach what is happening to women under Islam? Not just what happened throughout 1,400 years of Islamic history, not just what Muhammad, the quintessential man of Islam, did, but what's happening today with respect to how in the world can they simply whitewash that?
I think they stomach it, they whitewash it, because they are not who they say they are. They're hypocrites. They don't give a fig about women's rights. That's just one of the little narratives that they try to use and exploit to their own favor when it's time to complain about, you know, Christian patriarchal society and so forth. But when it comes to talking about Muslims being commanded in the Quran to beat and whip their wives for sex, to chastise them, that the woman has half the intelligence of a man, therefore you need two women's testimony in a court, and any number of other damning things that Islam says about women, including that the vast majority of the denizens of hell are female, well, that they don't really want to get into, because that doesn't work in the narrative that we're discussing, which makes Islam look bad and so forth. So they're okay to throw those women under the bus who are having acid thrown on their face and are being raped as slaves because their Yazidis are Christians and so forth. And, I hope someday people open up their eyes and they see who these people, the Karen Armstrongs and the Hillary Clintons, are, because their hypocrisy really stinks.
And they have to know about it. I mean, Karen Armstrong is a credentialed academic. Hillary Clinton has traveled all over the world. You and I have been all over the world. We've seen it firsthand. This is not mythology, and it's certainly not something that we should turn a blind eye to. I want to talk about something else, and that is the repressive nature of the Obama administration with respect to any materials that might as much as hint at Islamic core values being systematic to Islamic jihadism. In fact, this repression is so strong that when Boko Haram, which overtly declared its alliance and its allegiance with the Islamic State, when they bombed churches and massacred tens of thousands of Christians, he resolutely refused to designate them a foreign terrorist organization. And I think, as you have so courageously and correctly communicated, the Obama administration agreed to spend $600 million on a U.S. aid initiative launched to ascertain the true causes behind Boko Haram's jihad, as if the organization has not made perfectly clear what its goals are.
Absolutely, Hank. And that's the disconnect that's going on. And I'm glad you bring up Boko Haram, because there's so many examples of, you know, this administration, whether it's in the person of Obama or Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, or her husband, Bill Clinton, who would go and talk to the Nigerians, or John Kerry. They have always adamantly stressed that what's happening in Nigeria is about politics, it's about economics, it's about the southern or mid to southern half of the nation being Christian majority, and they're sort of exploiting economically the northern Muslim majority. And all of these you know, paradigms that are, of course, intelligible to the Western mind, because they're very much built on material ideas. And then, like you say, if you go and you listen to the leaders of the insurgency, Boko Haram and their leaders, everything they talk about is, we are Muslims, you are infidels, the Nigerians who are Christians. It is our job to kill you and slaughter you and subjugate you until we take over the entire country. And that's what they're doing. And that's what they say. And that's what they do. And yet, you know, John Kerry, at one point when the Nigerian government got really took a strong offensive and really attacked some of the northern bases of Boko Haram, and they killed something like 15 terrorists, John Kerry went and made a press release saying that he strongly is condemning, the Nigerian government's actions, because it goes against human rights and so forth. And again, if you're just your average American, you don't know the nature of what's going on. It sounds plausible. Okay, Nigerian government's killing people. They're being too rough, but you don't know that those guys that the Nigerian government killed have probably killed and slit the throats of Christians and burned churches and raped girls, all in the name of Islam. And Hillary Clinton did the same exact thing as Secretary of State. She was constantly being asked to classify Boko Haram, which is simply the sub-Saharan counterpart of ISIS, which is why, as you say, they've pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. And they've done the same exact thing, the butchery, the burning, the crucifixion, the beheading, the slave markets. And up until recently, they refused to even say that they're a terrorist organization. And so that's the disconnect that's going on with this administration. But as you say, they know exactly who and what Boko Haram is. But unfortunately, your average American probably doesn't, and they just go along with that narrative.
Raymond Imbrin's Crucified Again, as indicated by his subtitle, is focused on exposing Islam's new war on Christians. However, as Raymond makes plain, there's a larger lesson to be learned. The West must learn to connect the dots. The West has to learn to understand the interconnectivity of Islam. And again, Raymond talks about this in Crucified Again. The book is absolutely stunning. Just before I came into the studio, I looked back through the pictures, and they're horrifying. But they're also necessary to see, because we cannot cast a blind eye to what's happening. And some might say, well, what can I do? Let me say that you can pray. Prayer is what ultimately moves the hand of omnipotence. And there are Christians all over the world that need our prayers. I've seen them in places like China. I've seen them in Myanmar recently, in Vietnam. I've seen them in Gaza, in the West Bank. And what Raymond has done is he's no longer willing to leave all of this in the shadows. He wants to bring it out in the bright light. Again, his book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, available when you support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, we'll take some of your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. A special broadcast today, my interview with Raymond Imbrin, live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. His book, Crucified Again, you don't want to miss what's coming up next. Please don't touch that dial.
Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically marginalized. They are subjugated under the Islamic way. Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians by Raymond Imbrin, poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Christians in the Islamic world are vastly outnumbered and politically subjugated under the Islamic way. In Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim poignantly states one urgent reason why the West in its entirety, Christians and non-Christians, liberals and conservatives, deists and atheists, should take note of and respond to Muslim persecution of Christians. It is a reflection of what Islam has in store for them. Ibrahim explains that if the mainstream media were to report honestly on the persecution of Christians under Islam, the obvious implications that Islam is dangerously hostile to all non-Muslims would be inescapable. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive your copy as our thanks, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Ostenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Ostenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Christians and Muslims can be co-citizens in ethnicity, national identity, culture, and language. But wherever and whenever Muslims are in power, explains Raymond Ibrahim, churches are outlawed, burned, and bombed, while Bibles and crucifixes are confiscated and destroyed. Freedom of speech, to speak positively of Christianity or critically of Islam, is denied, often on pain of death. Read Raymond Ibrahim's book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Receive your copy as our thanks when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we're rejoining a conversation with Raymond Ibrahim. His book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Raymond, I'm looking at one of the pictures in your book. It's a picture of an Orthodox priest who was assassinated in his Moscow church for proselytizing and baptizing Muslims. I'm looking at the picture of Susan. She's a 14-year-old girl. Her father discovered she converted to Christianity. He tortured her in keeping with Islamic law. He trapped her in a room for months. He denied her food and water. And in an attempt to have her return to Islam, he persecuted her in ways that are, quite frankly, unspeakable. She was rescued and weighed only 44 pounds, and her entire Muslim family today has abandoned her. Or the picture of the funeral of Rashid, a Palestinian Christian who was slaughtered with repeated axe blows at the hands of Muslims for refusing to convert to Islam. All of this is emblematic, pictorial, if you will, of the human rights violations. A few years ago, the British Secret Service, M16, had the number of Christians being persecuted around the globe at twice as high, 200 million, twice as high at what some people are saying, 100 million, 200 million. And a human rights representative for the Organization for Security and Cooperation on Europe gives an estimate of Christians being killed for their faith as one every 5 minutes. So what you're displaying in pictorial form is a reality that Christians have to wake up to.
You know, Hank, every month I produce a report called Muslim Persecution of Christians. I think I mentioned it to you before. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I collate all the, or as much as I can find, because there's so many in different languages, all the instances that arise in any given month of Muslim persecution of Christians. And it's funny that you mentioned those pictures, the murdered priest because he's proselytizing to Muslims, or the abused and starving girl because she apostatized and became a Christian. All of these stories just today, because I was collating for my latest report, all the stories, I probably came across three or four of each of those forms and patterns of persecution. I read about a Muslim man killing his wife because she embraced Christ, a Christian priest being killed because he was accused of proselytizing, just like in the other one. A child, I think a 7-year-old boy in Uganda, being set on fire by his father because he wanted to become a Christian. So, you know, this is just to give you an idea that, you know, when you read these stories in the book, and you see the pictures, this is just scratching the surface. This stuff is happening as we speak right now, constantly, over and over, repeating itself over and over as a pattern. And so that's really the gravity of what's involved here, as people really in the West are just in ignorance, willful ignorance, I think, at this point. And as Islam starts extending into their territory, especially in Europe, but even a little bit in America, in the context of this so-called migrant crisis, and you see the same patterns happening now over again. Today again, I was reading about churches. I think there were three in Europe just in 2 weeks alone, one in Sweden, one in Kosovo, and I think one in Germany, that were attacked by angry Muslim migrants, spat upon, urinated on, literally. And I think one was almost set on fire or partially set on fire. And, of course, this I'm familiar with by reading reports emanating out of the Islamic world, happening to Christian churches. But as you can see, as Islamic numbers grow in Europe, and they have exponentially so in recent times, so too are the phenomena that Christian minorities experience at the hands of Muslims, where they are a majority. Now they're coming to us. They're happening in Europe, and they're starting to happen here. We saw recently it was three attacks over the weekend by Muslims again, and it's the same mentality and the same ideology.
You know, what's interesting, Raymond, is I'm sure you're familiar with Ayaan Hirsi Ali. She was, of course, a woman who grew up in an Islamic context. She ended up being a parliament member, I believe, of the country I was born in, Holland, and very, very well-spoken, articulate, and has done some of the best work on the planet in terms of refuting Islam, but yet she has now become an atheist. And one wonders what the fallout is, particularly for women, when they have seen up close and personal just how repressive the Muslim war on women really is.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I'm actually working, I don't want to keep talking about what I'm writing, but I'm just working on an article today about how women, females of all ages, Christian women especially, but women in general, including Muslims, are the greatest victims of Islam. And the reason for that, because another report came out, I think in April, and this is what I base it on, talking about how most of those numbers that you just gave, those accurate numbers of, every 5 minutes Christian being killed and 200 million and so forth, the majority of them tend to be females. And the reason for that is because, okay, so Christian women are, one, infidels, just like the man, and so they're bad in that sense. They're unclean, essentially subhumans, but they're also women. And of course, in Islam, the woman, even the Muslim woman, is second to the man. And so you can see why the so-called infidel non-Muslim woman is really the lowest of the low. But when you move this in regards to your question, you look at the Muslim woman, you start understanding why she also is when it comes to men and women, gets the short end of the stick in Islam, because she is, the field to be plowed, in Quran's words, Arabic words, by her husband. She can be beaten up and chastised and disciplined by him anytime he wants. He can divorce her very easily as he wants. He can have four of her, four wives, anytime he wants. And that which his right hand owns, meaning slaves and infidel slaves caught in battle and so forth. And her word in court doesn't count as the word of a man. So you can see that Islam, essentially, and to take this back from a historical point of view, what Islam was and how it was understood by the earliest Christians, and I'm talking about in the era of Muhammad, was basically a false prophet who created a system to incite his violent followers to, give them the right to plunder, kill, enslave, and of course abuse the weak among them, being that being the women of their society, by putting them in their place and having harems and so forth. And it was a system that was created for that, and it worked. And unfortunately, in the modern era, here we are, and we're still giving this system cover, and we're protecting it, and we're calling it a legitimate religion, and it's something that we need to respect and appreciate and understand and show tolerance for, and so forth and so forth. And as we speak, untold Christians, untold women, including Muslims, are suffering at its hand every single day.
This is a call-in broadcast, so let me at least take one call today. Phil in Grand Rapids, listening on Sirius XM 131. You're on with Raymond Ibrahim. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, why is it that the Obama administration always says ISIL, ISIL, instead of ISIS or IS?
Yeah, that comes up a lot. And the reason, so in Arabic, I'm not going to pronounce it in Arabic, but in Arabic it literally means the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, or in Iraq and Syria. And it comes out in Arabic, the acronym is DASH, which is spelled in English, D-A-E-S-H. And then that became the acronym Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. But for some reason, the Obama administration, instead of saying Syria, they use the older fashion, Levant. So it's the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant. And I believe the reason they do that is because they don't want people to associate Syria, which is where the United States just so happens to be, or at least is supporting forces fighting the legitimate government of Bashar Assad, and which simply means we are supporting the rebels who are fighting him, among them being ISIS. And so it's a way of trying to distance from the minds of the masses the word Syria, and just kind of keep it at this sort of innocuous ISIL acronym.
Let me add something to that in the form of a question, Raymond, and that is it not more accurate for us today to call it the Islamic State, because that is indeed what it pretends to be, the reestablishment of the caliphate?
Oh, I usually, you know, unless I get lazy and I just use the ISIS acronym because I think people recognize it, I dislike it because when I first heard it, it conjures up images of some Egyptian goddess, you know, a pharaoh, ISIS. But I actually, when I'm being very formal, I call them the Islamic State because that's what they call themselves. I sometimes call them the caliphate because that's exactly how they see themselves as. And in many ways and shapes and forms, they are a caliphate. If you look at how the historic caliphates were founded and their origins, well, in the minds of a lot of Muslims, this is a caliphate. But in short, it is certainly an Islamic State.
Raymond, thank you so much for your contributions to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, to our audience, and really for having the courage to write this book. It really does take courage. A lot of people do not know what goes on behind the scenes. When people write these kinds of books, they're not just called Islamophobes. There is a price to be paid. And so there are courageous people out there that are willing to tell it like it is. We're deeply appreciative to you for being one of those people, Raymond.
I appreciate it very much, Hank, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to come and kind of spread the message.
You got it. Thank you so much. And do remember the book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. New war is an operative phrase because there has been a war on Christians, and that war has been going on for 1,400 years. There has been sort of this golden era, so to speak, in which there was a bit of a lull in the storm, and Raymond talks about that, but overall, this has been a perpetual war against Christians, against Jews. It is a war that needs to be called out, and most of all, it is a war that has so many Christian casualties, and thus we should be praying on a regular basis for the mass genocide that people are experiencing all over the world while we still have carved out a comfortable niche in the West. It won't always be like this. If we continue to be quiet, we too will pay a price. It is only the Christian church that has the power to turn the tide in this clash of civilizations. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow, taking your calls live. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Thank you for joining us today. One reason why the mainstream media is reticent to report objectively on Christian persecution under Islam, writes Raymond Ibrahim, is that of all forms of Islamic violence, the abuse of Christians where Muslims are in power has the capacity to completely undermine the liberal narrative that has dominated politics for decades. Read Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Raymond Ibrahim's book, Crucified Again. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org, equip.org. Did you know that of the top 50 countries documented for their persecution of Christians, 42 either are Muslim-majority nations or have a sizable Muslim population? Compounding this problem is that Christians in the United States are kept ignorant of these facts through academic whitewashing, media revisions of history, and so-called politically correct government policies. To give you the facts straight, the Christian Research Institute is offering John L. Allen Jr.'s The Global War on Christians, Dispatches from the Front Lines of Anti-Christian Persecution, and Raymond Ibrahim's Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. To receive either The Global War on Christians or Crucified Again as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit us at www.equip.org.